And the title of this message is, You May Ask. Please, God. Just make sure to please God.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Holy God, we praise You, we worship You, we adore You in this place. God, we thank You for what You did on that cross. We thank You for what You've given us. We thank You for the opportunity to come into Your house to worship and praise You because You are truly worthy. God, we thank You that You have been here, that You are here. And Lord, we just ask right now that You would stay. And Lord, that You would open our hearts, open our eyes, that You would speak in a mighty and powerful way. And that we would not leave here the same, that we would be changed, that we would be more in Your image, that we would be more in awe of who You are and what You are capable of. And we ask, Lord, that You be glorified, You be exalted, and we will always praise Your name. And we thank You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So for anyone that doesn't know, I'm going to be preaching for the next 9 weeks or so. Thank you. If Pastor Jerry does come back, right, in 9 weeks. No, Pastor Jerry will be back. You know, we have a great opportunity to be able to pray for our pastors, for Pastor Jerry and Laura, as they go on this sabbatical, and the Lord can just minister to them as a couple and just to refresh them. So I ask that You would spend time every single day praying for them, lifting them up. Because as they ask, you know, that they be able to go and refresh, and we're not going to be reaching out to them, but God will be. He'll be ministering to them, and what an opportunity. As we know how much they pray for us, we're going to be able to pray for them. So I just ask that we would corporately, we would individually just lift them up. You know, I got a chance to spend some time with them last Sunday after service, and I told Pastor Jerry, I said, go. I said, I'm so glad that you get to do this. I said, the only difference in church is going to be the congregation is going to hear from God just in my voice and not yours. So God will be glorified. God will speak. His word will be read. And you know, there are differences between Pastor and I. You know, Rick and I talked about it this week. Pastor Jerry is much more a teacher than I am. You know, that's not the calling that God has put on me at this time. But Pastor Jerry teaches, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, there's other differences too. He's really old. He's losing his hair. You know, I shave mine. It's completely different. And I thought, you know, I also want to say, I made sure, I said, no, are you going to be able to watch the services? And he said, no. And I said, okay, awesome. I said, so anything I say, you won't know about for like 9 weeks. But no, honestly, let's just pray for them and lift them up before the Lord. You know, as God started giving me this word, He just said two words to me when He started giving it to me. And I was like, is that a question or a statement? And He clarified, as He always does. But I thought, where are you going to go with this? And He took me and He led me through His word. And I was like, that's really good. Good job, God, as He always does. So let's start in Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul talking to the church here. Galatians 1 verse 10. He writes and he asked them a question. He said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So, do I stand up here to seek to please you guys? I absolutely do not. I'll be fired in 9 weeks. Do I seek to please men or God? Flip over into 1 Thessalonians. It's just a couple of books over there. the Apostle Paul, again talking to another church, in chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4, and he says, "But as we were allowed," I used to think I was forced to preach. I now understand that I'm allowed to preach. And he said, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." Do you realize that we, as followers of Christ, we're put in trust with the gospel? But he said, "Even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts." Jump over to chapter 4. Same book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." So we've seen in Galatians 1:10, he said, "Do I seek to please men or God?" In 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, "We speak not to please men, but to please God." And then here in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "You know we've told you to walk and to please God." And that was what the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Please God." Hebrews chapter 11, just a few more books over, starting in verse 1. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Believing in something that you haven't seen yet, but that you know is going to come, right? Amen. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." He says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." He wasn't found. Enoch was no more. Right? God translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he what? He pleased God. But without faith, it is what? It's going to be really hard. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be a big hill. It's going to be impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. That when we come, we have to believe that he is. We must believe. "For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." By faith, Noah, in verse 7, warned of God of things not seen. Hey, it's going to rain a whole lot. You need to build this huge boat. What did Noah do? It says here, he moved with fear. God told him to do it, and he was like, "I'm on it." He had faith. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. He just went because God told him to. By faith, he journeyed in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It is impossible to please God without faith. He has told us here we're to please Him. So how do we please Him? It starts with faith. We believe that He is. We accept Him. We believe that He was and is to come. That He is the King of Kings. That He is the Almighty God. That there is no other. That's what we have to believe. And then, by that we can please Him. So when God spoke to me, please God. I said, please God? Like, please God, get me out of here? Please God, don't make me preach for 9 weeks? Please God, give me a new job? Please God, I hate what I'm going through. Please God, am I asking you? And He said, and the title of this message is, you may ask, please God. Just make sure to please God. So you can ask Him. Ask Him. He is not offended by us asking Him to remove us from situations. What we have to do, though, is after we ask Him, is accept His answer and please Him regardless of whether it was in our plan or not. It is His plan. And that is where our faith comes in. Please, God, I don't want to do this. But yes, God, I will please You. So ask, but accept the answer. And please Him above all else. And we do that with faith. First we believe that He is, and then we believe that He can do anything. That's the faith that we must have. And that faith will free you from stress and anxiety and worry and every other thing that this world and the enemy will put on you. Because you will know beyond any shadow of a doubt that He is. And that is the peace that passes all understanding. When Christ lives within you, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you're at peace in the storm because you know who He is. So we're going to go through a few stories, and God was giving me these. I was like, God, I've preached on these before. And He said, well, you can move on as soon as I come out with the Bible part two. So we're going to hear some stories that we have already heard, and I hope that we see them in a little different way. So let's go to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to talk about Abraham that we just talked about in Hebrews. The one that left and went because God said go. God didn't tell him where. God just said go. And Abraham said, I'm with you. So we know all of us know the backstory that Abraham was given a son, Isaac, that God promised him when he was how old? 100. 100. God blessed Abraham with patience. 100 years old and had a child, right? And so he has this child, the promise that God has given him. And then in verse 21, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Huh. And he said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. As we read through this, and we will read through this, we're going to see nowhere does Abraham question. Nowhere does Abraham veer off. And it doesn't even show us that Abraham asked God anything. But I will tell you, as the experience of having a son and a daughter, that I know in Abraham's heart, I believe with everything that is in me, I would never add to the scriptures, but I believe with everything that in me, that Abraham was praying to God, please God, don't make me do this. Don't make me do this. He never stopped doing it, but I believe that he was praying, please don't make me do this. He said, your son in whom you love. God knew that Abraham loved him. And I believe Abraham was saying, please don't make me do this. But he kept going. Abraham rose up early in the morning in verse 3. He saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He clave the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up and he went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, you guys stay here. He said, I and the lad are going to go and we're going to worship and then come again to you. Abraham had faith. Abraham was obedient. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went, the both of them. Isaac spoke to his father and he said, here, he said, Abraham, he said, my father, Abraham said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, he said, I see you have fire and wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Faith. So they went. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built the altar. He laid the wood. He tied his son Isaac. He laid him on the altar. He stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to kill his son. I believe as he was doing it, he was saying, please God, I don't want to do this, but I will please you. Please God, I don't want to do this. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. And he said, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the boy, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. God wouldn't have tested him with it if it wasn't going to be difficult. If Abraham wanted to kill his son, that wouldn't have been much of a test, would it? Abraham didn't want to do it. That's why it was a test. But he never wavered. He said, now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because you've done this thing, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Your seed will possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed your voice. It's okay to not want to do something, but it's not okay not to do it when the Lord asks you to do it. Don't withhold anything from him. There was nothing more precious to Abraham than his son, and he didn't withhold it from the Lord. Are you withholding something from the Lord? I would tell you today, he wants to bless you. He doesn't want to take something from you and hurt you. He wants you to give it to him so he can bless you. Was Abraham blessed? Was his seed multiplied? Did he inhabit the gates of his enemies? I say he did. Because he pleased God. He obeyed. He had faith. It's okay to say please God. But you must please God. Daniel chapter 2. So Daniel has just finished interpreting the dream for the king, for King Nebuchadnezzar. And in verse 49, when David has just done something great for the king, Daniel requested of the king, he said, hey, he said, set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel, he put in the gate of the king. So these three guys have just been given a promotion. Things are looking up. They've been put into a place, right? This is great. Sometimes we get put into a place where we're going to be able to glorify God, right? Yeah, they definitely did. So in chapter 3, verse 12, everything's going great for them, right? Nebuchadnezzar builds this idol, says everyone must worship it, and these three guys, right? They worship it, right? No. They're like, we can't do this. Nebuchadnezzar's followers come to him and tell him, these three young Jewish boys, they're disregarding you. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, they've not regarded you. They don't serve your gods. They don't worship your golden image. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded, you bring these three boys to me. Verse 14, he says, is it true that you don't serve my God? You don't worship the golden image which I've set up? Now he said, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, all kinds of music, you fall down, you worship this image which I've made. But if you don't, you're going to be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then, who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? Huh? Who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. They said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. They said, here's the thing. If it be so, see, this is the faith that we must have. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver. They knew unequivocally. They had no doubts what God could do. They said, if it be so, He's able. You have to get there. He is able. He is able to heal. He is able to raise from the dead. He is able to deliver you from whatever. You have to know that. That's that faith. They said, He's able to deliver us from it. And He will. But in verse 18, they said, we're going to please Him no matter what. He is able. And again, my experience is being a human that doesn't want to be burned alive. I'm pretty sure that they were saying, please, God, like, we know you're able to, so go ahead and show Him. Show Him what you can. We know, but let Him know. But if not, let it be known that we're not going to serve your God. We're not going to bow down. Are you able to stand here and say that? To put up to the face of death? To deny your God that you would say, you're going to have to kill me. He's able, but I'm willing to die for Him. I'm willing to die. We're not going to serve your gods. We're not going to worship. Well, then in verse 19, He was full of fury. And then He looked at Him differently. His visage was changed. Therefore He spake, He commanded. He said, turn the furnace up seven more times, that it won't be heated. Then it was wont to be heated. And He commanded the most mighty men that were in His army to bind them and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then the men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments. They were cast into the midst of the furnace. Because the king's commandment was urgent, the fire was so hot that the fire killed the men that got close enough to throw them in. The three men fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And the king was astonished. He rose up in haste. He spake and he said, didn't we throw three men into it? They answered and they said, yes. He said, but I see four. I see four men. They're loose. They're walking in the fire. They're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. See, remember when they said He was able? He chose to do it the way that they asked. He did. He chose. But they were willing to do it no matter what. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the furnace and he spake and he said, you servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. And they came out. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, they all came, they gathered. And they saw that the fire had no power. There wasn't a hair on their head singed. Their coats weren't changed. They didn't even smell like they'd been near fire. Nebuchadnezzar spake and he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. He then made a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of these three young men shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then that promotion they were just given, they were promoted even higher in the province of Babylon. You know why? Because they chose to please God no matter what. Will you please God no matter what? We look at stories all the time and we pray all the time. God, remove it. He could have just put the fire out. Right? He could have just turned the furnace off. He could have been like Lycan. God could have blown it out. He could have knocked over the idol like he did with the Philistines, God, in the Old Testament. He could have made King Nebuchadnezzar not be able to speak. He could have made him as a wild beast, right? He could have done any number of things. But you know what he did? He just went right into the fire with them as they worshiped him. So God might not remove your trial, but he'll be there with you in it. We must please God. Matthew 26. This was right after the Last Supper. Jesus with his disciples in verse 36. Jesus knew what was about to happen. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful. Jesus was sorrowful? But we have the joy of the Lord, right? We're not ever to be sorrowful. That's not true. That's not true. We don't have to stay sorrowful because he comforts us. But Jesus was sorrowful. It says it was very heavy. And then Jesus in verse 38 says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death." He says, "Please stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed. And what's he saying? He's saying, "Please, God." He didn't want to be separated, right? Separated from God, taking all of our disgusting sin. He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible," it's okay to ask, "if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but you." He said, "Please God," but he said, "I will please God." And he comes to his disciples and he finds them asleep and he says to Peter, "You couldn't even watch with me 1 hour?" He said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away again the second time and he prayed. He said, "Oh, my Father." He said, if it can't pass, except I drink it, then your will be done. That's where we have to be. God, I would prefer not to do this, but your will be done. I will please you. I will worship you. I will do what you have called me to do, even if I don't want to, even if I don't understand it, even if it makes no sense, even if it scares me, even if it makes me exceedingly sorrowful. Because I will please you no matter what. Is that where we are today, church? Because that's where we need to be. We need to please him no matter what. We get so caught up with the things of this world. We get so caught up in different things. We need to please God. Please God. Ecclesiastes. If you haven't read this book in a while, it's not a very long book. I encourage you to go and read it. Who wrote Ecclesiastes? King Solomon. He starts in verse 1 of chapter 1, and he says, these are the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. King Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And he was also the richest man to ever live. So he had wisdom. He was brilliant. And he had wealth. He had everything you could ask for on this earth, right? Power, money, wisdom. And he says in verse 2, "Vanity of vanities." Vanity of everything is vanity. He said, what profit has a man of all that he does, all his labor, which he takes in under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth, it abides here forever. Jump over to chapter 2. King Solomon says, I said in my heart, go to now. He said, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, I'm enjoy pleasure. And behold, that this, it's vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad. And of mirth, what's it do? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. What should you do all the days of your life? So he said, I made great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards. If you've never read of the house that he built, go read about the house that he built. So he said, I did that. I built houses. I planted vineyards. I made gardens, orchards. I planted trees in them with all kinds of fruit. I made pools of water to water the wood that brings forth the trees. I got servants, maidens. I had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. This is the son of King David, and he's got more than any man has ever had. He says, I gathered silver, gold, peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got men singers, women singers, the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments of all sorts. He says in verse 9, so I was great. I increased more than all that were before me, and my wisdom remained with me. So whatsoever in verse 10 my eyes desired, I didn't keep it from me. If I wanted it, I had it. I withheld not my heart from any joy, because my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirits. None of it profited me at all. He goes on and he says, I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that comes after the king? Even that which has already been done. So I saw that wisdom excelled folly as far as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. I perceived also that one event happens to everyone. Then I said in my heart, the same thing that happens to the fool is going to happen to me. So why was I wise? Then I said in my heart, well, the wisdom, it's vanity too. There's no remembrance of the wise more than the fool. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how does the wise man die? Same as the fool. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that it wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that's after me. Like, great! I'd say he was getting old. He'd come real close with the end of his life. Well, this hasn't profited me. I had everything, and now I'm going to die. And you were like, you encouraged us to read this? Well, let's just skip to the end. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon did understand and did figure out what all of it was worth. He said in verse 13, this is the conclusion of all of it. He said, fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. The wisest, richest, most powerful man said, everything is worth nothing. Fear God. Keep His commandments. That's your whole duty. Please God. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So how do we please God? We have faith. I'll close with 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Remember Solomon said, fear God, keep His commandments. This is everything. Your whole duty. Fear God and keep His commandments. John says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. And we do those things that are what? That are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we should believe. It goes back to faith. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Love one another as He gave His commandment. And he that keeps His commandments dwells in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He gave us. Do you feel the Holy Spirit living within you? That's because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. That's because you had faith to believe that in the beginning, that you have faith to believe that there is no other God, that you had faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that is the only way to salvation. So yes, fear God, keep His commandments, and please Him. He will take nothing from you. He will give and He will bless. We don't have to understand what He's asked us to do. We can even ask Him to take it. But don't not please God because you were afraid, because you didn't understand, because it seemed impossible. Of course it seems impossible. You can't do it. But He can do it. That's when I know that it's going to be awesome. When He asked me to do something and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, oh, that's going to be awesome. Because He's going to do it. It's not anything of us. It's all about Him. Our whole lives should point to Christ in everything that we say, everything that we do, the way that we love one another and the way that we have faith in Him. I'm telling you, please God. You will not be sorry. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what He's asked you to do. But do it. Please God in everything. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that You haven't given us the understanding to understand everything. But I thank You that You've given us the power of Your Holy Spirit. That You have given us the love of Your Son, that You've given us salvation, that You've given us the ability to have faith. Lord, I ask that You increase our faith because we know it's impossible to please God without faith. So Lord, I ask that You would build up our faith, that You would challenge us, that You would tempt us, that You would allow us to grow and be stretched and to have faith that only comes from You. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You would give us opportunities to please You, and I ask that we would please You in everything that You ask us to do. I ask, Lord, that whatever struggle any of us have been having, Lord, that You have answered it today by telling us, just trust me, have faith that I am. Have faith to know that I will forever be. Have faith that just like I provided for Abraham, I will provide for you. That just like I stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will stand with you in your fire. Lord, that just like You rose Christ from the dead, that You gave Him the strength, that He gave His life, that You will give us that same encouragement and spirit. Because we do. We have the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living within us. So God, I ask going forward that we will please You. We will please You in everything. And I thank You for the opportunities in Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.